This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Returning home can be a challenge for anyone that served in the military. After living a life focused on missions, safety, and camaraderie, veterans return to the civilian world and have to take life into their own hands. Many choose to focus on their families and careers. I recently spoke with a few guests about education and employment opportunities for veterans in the La Crosse area. First, we'll focus on education. Jackie Helgeson is Western Technical College's Veterans Certifying Official. Chris Harnage is an Army veteran and a student at WTC. And Jim Gaussman, La Crosse County's Veterans Service Officer. Gaussman begins the conversation talking about education opportunities in the area.
I would say for the most part they're better than ever. Choices, expanded programs. I'm a Vietnam-era veteran. And our program was okay, but I really believe the current program does more and is better.
And why is that?
The VA is now paying tuition. Back in Vietnam, for example, the Vietnam GI Bill in 1975, as a single vet, I was getting $311 a month, but I had to pay tuition out of that. The good news was tuition was about $280 at UW at the time. So within a month, I'd had my tuition paid, but under the current program, tuition is paid, and there's a book fee paid to veterans, plus they get a monthly stipend. So, you know, it's not perfect, but it's better than it used to be in a lot of respects.
I'm wondering if you can talk about, Jim, the specifics of the Wisconsin GI Bill and maybe some of the differences that's occurred post 9/11.
I think I'll address the federal choices, and I'll let Jackie Helgeson from TC address the Wisconsin GI Bill. That's a school program. Because of recent changes, veterans may be eligible for several programs, and they need to make a choice. If we go back, since 1985, we've had what's called the Montgomery GI Bill, named after a congressman from Alabama that sponsored it, Sonny Montgomery. The Montgomery GI Bill was in place from 1985 until 2009. And, you know, people who served had 10 years from the date of their discharge to use these benefits. And the service members had to pay in, though. They had to pay $100 a month for the first year of active duty. The program paid benefits pretty well, but there was no tuition component to Montgomery GI Bill. When things heated up after 9/11/01 and we were mobilizing National Guard and Reserve, all of these programs were looked at. There was the phase-in of the post-9/11 GI Bill. That was specifically for military members who served on active duty after September 1st, 2011. Post-9/11, you need to serve 3 years to get the maximum benefit. If you serve less than 3 years, you get a proportion of the maximum benefit. This was addressed because a lot of reservists, National Guard, other reserve forces were activated for up to a year to go to Iraq or Afghanistan, and they had reserve and guard programs, but they deserved more than the part-time benefits, so they now get a portion of the new post-9/11 GI Bill benefit. But there are so many programs, I think it's difficult for veterans and service members to navigate. It's not simple. The end of Vietnam, we had one choice. We went to the school, filled the paperwork out, and a check showed up sooner or later. It's a lot more involved now, even though in the end I believe it's better.
Jackie, as the Western Technical College Veterans Certifying Official, I mean, one of your tasks involved with your job is helping veterans navigate the system. Can you talk about that and the Wisconsin GI Bill?
Well, sure. You know, a lot of times when the veterans come in, they're very confused as to what's available to them. And you really have to sit down and kind of go step by step and explain, you know, all the different benefits that are out there so that they can make a really educated choice. Because I think the worst thing is to see somebody not be able to meet their educational goals because they didn't plan correctly in using their benefits. So, you know, it is very difficult. And so I think it's a goal of all of the schools, and especially in Wisconsin, across the nation, to really be aware of what the veteran is going through and help them make those good choices. We are not supposed to be counseling. We are just informing. And what we do is try to make sure they have all that information in front of them. And it gets really complicated when you're combining federal benefits with state benefits. Wisconsin has a lot of very generous state benefits for veterans and their family members. And, you know, the main one that's a real hot topic right now is the Wisconsin GI Bill. That came out, I believe it was 2005. And it's changed and evolved over the years. And that is actually a program that was created by the two state school systems, university system and also the technical college system. And it is a tuition remission program for veterans. They can actually go to school tuition free. They do not have to pay any tuition and fees that fall within the statutory language of that bill. So, and up to 128 credits. That's a very huge benefit. And they have to qualify for the benefit. They have to be a Wisconsin veteran and meet the definition of that. And there's a whole process to that. They also, if they're disabled and they have a rating of at least 30%, and they are a Wisconsin veteran, their spouse or their child can use the same benefit. It's not like they're giving away that Wisconsin GI Bill to them. They actually have their own benefit. So you could have a family of like a veteran, a spouse, and a child all using the Wisconsin GI Bill.
Jim, do you know how many veterans are enrolled in area colleges around here?
Well, in La Crosse County, we're close to 2,000. And my veteran count as county service officer is about 9,500 veterans live in La Crosse, but we have a lot of students from the area, La Crosse being an education magnet for the rural counties. You know, we have over 1,400 at Western Tech, over 150 at UW-La Crosse. Viterbo has 100 veterans. I would like to mention, Maureen, one program for disabled vets that I didn't mention. If a veteran is hurt, injured, gets sick on active duty, and is given, rated a service-connected disabled veteran, there's a special education program for that group. It's called VA Vocational Rehabilitation. Completely separate program. It pays tuition, books, fees, pencil, paper. They've been known to provide computers to those who need them. And they're also more closely monitored than people under the GI Bill programs because they have disabilities. They're eligible for extra help. They need to go to school for something consistent with their disability. You know, if they're looking at a physical job and they have a knee or leg problem, it's not going to happen. But that's also a valuable program. That's been around a long time, since World War II, and it's a significant number of our returning vets.
And you're listening to Newsmakers. Today we're talking about education and employment opportunities for veterans in the La Crosse area. My guests today are Jackie Helgeson. She's Western Technical College's Veteran Certifying Official. Jim Gaussman, he's a La Crosse County Veteran Service Officer. And Chris Harnage, he's a veteran and a student at WTC. And Chris Harnage, you're one of the many veterans that's attending WTC. I'm wondering if you can talk about what you're studying, what you have studied, and what that process has been like through the educational system. Has it been easy for you?
No. Initially, I was separated in 2001. I was given a one-day course at the transition office through Fort McCoy. And, of course, that has changed. As you heard Jim talk earlier, veterans have 10 years to utilize the Chapter 30 Montgomery GI Bill. That 10-year mark for me was yesterday, so I just completed that, and now I'm starting up with this new program, which is post-9/11. As for the degrees that I'm working on or have retained or earned, one of them would be the supervisory management, which I completed in 2008, and I'm also picking up a marketing and business management degree, which I hope to have completed by December 2012.
And can you talk about the transition from military life to college life?
Very confusing. A lot is going on, first off. You know, you start have to plan accordingly because now you're being put back in the civilian sector. You have to change your sensitivity level at the same time, too, because you lived one way of life in the military. Now you have to live another way of life outside of the military. So when I left the military, there was a lot of research that I had to do. Applying for federal jobs, I had to learn the basics, build resumes. And of course, Jim has helped me on a few occasions in the past, kind of give me some direction. At the same time, Jackie has talked to me in the past about certain benefits that I could apply for regarding my past military service. Now, one issue that we've had, and I know there's been some concerns with the veterans who have the post-9/11 GI Bill available to them, once you transition into the Montgomery GI Bill, you have a certain amount of time and a certain amount of months available for you to put towards your schooling. If you just switch over to the post-9/11 bill, you will probably lose a certain amount of time depending on how far you're into the Montgomery GI Bill. And for me, it was just easier, no-brainer, to complete the Montgomery GI Bill first and then switch over to the post-9/11 bill for an extension of 12 months.
And I would imagine for some veterans, some people don't want to jump into education right away.
I think first you have to stabilize yourself once you exit out the military. Again, big change, transition. If you have family, it's even more stressful. For me, I was a single soldier, so it was a lot easier to transition and try to work towards something. But I had to figure out what was best for me and what I wanted to do for the long run. And, of course, education was probably the best benefit for me.
A lot of veterans make that jump rather quickly.
Is that good or bad? Does it depend on the veteran?
Sometimes, you know, it's too quickly.
And then sometimes it's too quickly, yeah. But, you know, it's a different world out here. Somebody who's been in the regular military for 4 to 6 years, a combat tour or two, you know, there's a energy level, an anxiety level, get things done no matter what level. I'm retired Army, so I guess I can relate to this, but people need to slow down. They need to understand things are going to take time, you know, with vets. And, you know, no matter how much we talk and no matter how much they get information when they demobilize off of active duty, they're not listening. They're thinking about where am I going to go? How am I going to support myself? How am I going to live? Education's attractive. It's a monthly benefit. They know they're going to need more education to survive in this different world these days. The $20 an hour factory jobs are history. They're not going to be back here. So people make the jump. Is it good? It's necessary.
I think that, you know, schools from everywhere, are not just Wisconsin, but everywhere, looking at all of the services that they can provide on campus for the veterans that make that choice. They make that maybe rather quickly, because sometimes what ends up happening, maybe, you know, they may feel ready, you know, when they get out right away, but then 6 months down the road, they may have some issues with a disability, other issues, family problems. A lot of times, it really takes a lot of staffing on your campus to provide support for that, or a community of people that can provide a good networking. We do on our campus a lot of training to our staff and faculty so that they are aware of some of the issues they may see in the classroom, behaviors, warning signs or signals that they can say, okay, we need to do a referral and give this person maybe some help to make sure that they're, you know, the retention rate is that they stay in school. So,
and I'm sure one of those issues is PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder. How are universities and colleges working with veterans who do have PTSD, and are they doing enough?
The educational institutions have come to me, and they've requested from Vet Center and Tomah VA Medical Center that we meet and share knowledge so that they know how to help veterans who may be having concentration issues, attendance issues due to post-traumatic stress disorder. There's also traumatic brain injury, a lot of concussions from rollovers in Humvees and IED explosions. Everybody knows what that is after the last 10 years. I have to credit the schools, their willingness, their acceptance of this, and their willingness to work with vets. And I'm talking about all the institutions, Western Tech, UWL, Viterbo, and Globe University. I mean, they're all pulling. And, you know, some things can't be fixed. Some people's needs need to be accommodated. But everybody is working toward that goal, and it's a difficult goal.
And, Chris, do you ever talk with fellow veterans about, I mean, not necessarily PTSD, but just life in the military, and now you're a student in college, and, I mean, are you there for each other as a support system?
Recently, I just met a gentleman who just retired from the military in one of my last classes this past semester, and, you know, him and I, we've shared some, you know, stories or concerns, and for the most part, individually, I think you're held accountable for your work, your schoolwork. But if you need help, it's always there. And I know that there might be a few people that need some help. And sometimes we may work with each other in a study group just to, you know, get the studies that we need for our assignments for the final project to turn it in at the end of the semester.
And one of the final things I want to talk about in regards to education is the funding issue. As you said, Jim, there are many veterans in the educational system currently. And the federal government, state government, and schools seem to all sort of share the costs in funding.
The federal government shares the burden. Veterans serve our nation and collectively, you know, for the defense, and they're sent in harm's way. So, you know, the major portion of this, and it's not just education, it's health care and other benefits, is the federal government's obligation. In Wisconsin, we're fortunate, particularly with the Wisconsin GI Bill, the tuition remission. And I'd remind everybody that that's not just for post-9/11 vets. That's for anybody, any vet who entered active duty from Wisconsin. I got drafted in 1972. I used all my federal VA benefits, but I can go to school and get a master's degree if I want to, and the tuition is paid at a public school. So that's important. You know, the funding isn't something vets are concerned about. Politically, veterans as a group are concerned, veterans organizations. The federal government's looking at some horrendous hits here, dealing with, you know, spending overruns and deficits. But one of their main objectives and obligations, you know, is taking care of veterans, and we will all push to ensure that what's in place stays in place as much as possible.
Jim Gaussman is La Crosse County's Veterans Service Officer. He was joined by Western Technical College's Veterans Certifying Official Jackie Helgeson and Chris Harnage, an Army veteran and student at WTC. They spoke about education for veterans in the La Crosse area. With more and more returning veterans, colleges and universities are developing support systems for the former soldiers. Organizations are growing on campuses, including UW La Crosse's Student Veterans Association. Vice President Mike Berger recently talked with me about the organization, but first tells me about his four-year military career.
I was a member of the United States Air Force. I was military intelligence, so don't ask me what I did or I'll have to kill you. But my involvement was a big part of my life at the time. It was right after September 11th that I joined, and a buddy of mine, actually, he got me into it. I wasn't intentionally going to join Intel. I wanted to be a mechanic, but that didn't happen.
They picked you out?
they basically said, we need you somewhere else. We're gonna put you over here. So I kind of ended up, they gave me another choice, and I was like, well, whatever. We'll check out this Intel thing and see where it goes. And it ended up being a really cool experience. And so that's kind of how I ended up in there.
So then after you were finished with the military, can you talk about coming home and what that was like and your thought process to go to college then?
Sure. Afterwards, I wanted to be a teacher, music education at the time. I started looking into it towards the end of my Air Force career. I'm a musician by trade. I'm a trumpet player. And I had been playing at a few blues clubs outside of town. So I was like, that's kind of what I want to do with the rest of my life is, you know, bring that to other people. So when I got out and I got looking into colleges and UWL was it.
Was it a strange transition or was it easy? Because I know it's different for everyone.
It is different for everybody. My story is unique in that I found it easy at first, but the more that I looked at it, it really was a tough transition. I'm an outgoing person by nature. I didn't realize how much the military changed me until about 2 years into my college career. You know, some things weren't clicking just right, and I found the transition to be kind of hard, kind of difficult. The first year that I was here, as soon as I got here, I looked into the Veterans Club. And the thing was, at the time, it wasn't very organized. So it was really not until about 2.5 years later, 3 years later, when we really got everything together as the SVA club. So that made it pretty difficult. I mean, there wasn't anybody really here to guide me, you know, in the class picking process, stuff like that, to advise. But the SVA is together now, and we've put up some really good programs to help the incoming veterans, and I think that's it's going to be a really big help in the future.
And now you're the vice president.
I am the vice president, yes.
So can you talk about some of the programs to make the transition for newer veterans to come in and just make everything a little easier?
Sure thing. The biggest thing is we meet every week as a club, and we really talk about what's going on, what we can do to fix things, you know, the wrong things, what's going right, so that we can really develop those programs. In the last 2 years, we've really put together an incoming orientation that's it's been phenomenal. We've had great success. I mean, the first year we had maybe 5 people show up, but this last year we had over 25, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's the thing is, you got to get the name out there.
In your perfect world, would all the veterans on campus be a part of the club?
Yes, indeed.
And what sort of difference would that make?
Well, I think just knowing that each of us is here, exists, you know. A lot of the military people, they, you know, they shed that uniform and then they blend into community life. And other veterans who might be having problems, issues, you know, relating to people, the students who haven't fought overseas, you know, done something that big, it's hard as a veteran to relate to that. And I think finding other veterans to relate with has, for me, it's been a huge help.
Mike Berger is the vice president of UWL's Student Veterans Association. Coming up in the next half hour, we'll look at the employment picture for veterans in the La Crosse area. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, extended interviews, and other reports from the La Crosse News Bureau, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse.